Speculolot.
Talk about today, and this is, here's a bit of an October surprise, although we're not shocked. Your premiums under Obamacare could go up 70%. Let me say that again. The Business Insider reports that the Obama administration says that Obamacare health insurance under the Affordable Care Act will go up by an average of 25%, but in Oklahoma, expect a 76% increase in 2017. Tennessee, 60% increase, and others should be around 35%, but the average will be a 25% increase, which, by the way, means in a four-year period, it's a 100% increase. President Obama, when he took his victory lap last week celebrating all the progress on controlling costs, obviously was not aware that the costs are not under control. Now, this should be a major political issue right now. This should be the main, really the main policy point that Donald Trump is hitting, which he's really not, but he needs to be. He mentioned a little bit today,
yeah.
But this is a big deal.
Well,
this is the signature event of the president's domestic policy.
And some of these states are very important battleground states. In Arizona, for instance, which is right on the edge politically because of changing demographics. But young people, now they assume that the young people go out and vote left, if they go and vote at all. Let's say Hillary Clinton, though, she's campaigning hard amongst for young voters and needs them in Arizona. Their premiums are climbing by 116%.
Say that in Arizona. 116%
in Arizona. So whatever they're paying now, it's a full 100% double plus another 16%. So not a double, but triple digit increases for the American people who are paying for all these entitlement programs. Young people trying to get jobs, trying to get out of their parents' basements, and they're paying into all these entitlement programs that are not working for them. And we told you Obamacare doesn't work for young people. There it is right there. Triple digit increase just for young people in Arizona.
And remember yesterday we told you the FBI director that was promoted. This was the one that was investigating the Hillary Clinton matter eventually. He's not the number three at the FBI anymore. He's now the number two. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. And Logan, let's people start. They're already engaging. We can certainly encourage that on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Facebook and Periscope, Jay Sekulow. Just find it right there. Easy to go there, as well as on ACLJ.org. You can give us a call. A few lines are open, 1-800-684-3110.
And let me also mention, folks, that we are, again, we picked up some ground yesterday, so we appreciate your support of the ACLJ. We're about $40,000 behind right now, where we need to be. If you go to ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we really appreciate it. It's tax deductible, keeps us in the fight. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So Obamacare premiums, the signature domestic policy of the president. Don't worry, they're only going up if you live in what state was it, Jordan? It was 116%.
Arizona for young people, 116%. Yeah, so the people who are just trying to start their life out are getting hit the hardest with this burden. And that's because Obamacare, typical of these entitlement programs.
Yep.
I know we have listeners more in this older age group, but young, you are taking young people's money for all these programs, whether it's Social Security, whether it's Obamacare, through all these programs we're all paying into, my age group, and none of it's going to be there for us, or it's going to be so cost prohibitive that for these folks, it's much better to pay that penalty still.
Right.
Even though the penalty goes up over years,
you'd be better off
not even close to 100%. If you're really hurt, go to the hospital and go through that way. I mean, honestly.
What are we seeing online on this one before we get to the FBI
comments
stuff?
Are coming in. Obamacare doesn't work for anyone. That's from John Lupo. Bruce just says my premium is increasing 100% next year. A lot of comments coming in like that.
What state he's in, Logan?
I can probably find out for you.
Because I think, you know, there are states that are going to be over there.
Iowa.
Yeah. Well, another battleground. It shouldn't be a battleground.
Yeah,
but it
is. So all of these states, whether it's Midwest, West, Southeast, this should be a defining moment right now in the campaign for the political purposes.
Yes, because it's the president's single domestic policy, as he calls it, achievement, was the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Yeah. And it's fallen apart.
They're not holding back on this. They did not try to prevent the release of this data for a couple more weeks, which to me shows they feel like they're in a strong enough position to weather the truth. And so it sets Hillary Clinton up to say, this is why we have to reform our healthcare system more and put even in more government controls in. Because we always thought this idea of Obamacare was that you put people in this first position so that they're begging the government to set up the single payer.
Here's what President Obama said about this just last week in Miami-Dade College.
The new smartphone. Then it has a few bugs. What do? They fix it. They upgrade it. Unless it catches fire, then they just... But you don't go back to using a rotary phone. You don't say, well, we're repealing smartphones.
But if it catches on fire, they destroy all of those, terminate them, and come up with a new phone. Mr. President, that was a horrible analogy that the President of the United States, for a guy that taught law school at the University of Chicago, he should have known better than that. So you also now have, yesterday we said the unusual situation with the person that was running for, the Terry McAuliffe asked to run for a state legislative office in Virginia, happened to be the wife of the field director of the D.C. office of the FBI, who was ultimately involved in the Hillary Clinton investigation. Why? Because he didn't just get promoted. We said yesterday, number three, he's number two. So the FBI second in command is now facing pressure over these donations for $700,000 from the McAuliffe team to the Clinton, who's a top Clinton ally, to his wife, who was running for this position as a state senator. So now you've got the senator, Dick Black, Monday, who actually beat his wife in the race, calling for the resignation of Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe. And he said, quote, I call on Andrew McCabe to step down from the FBI for the good of all the agents who do their work in an ethical and honest fashion. I was watching our friend Judge Napolitano. I don't know if we have this sound, but I could paraphrase it. He thinks what's happening is the FBI, Jordan, is leaks are starting to happen.
Yes, and, I think that there's a lot of pressure inside the FBI from agents and from officials who are really angry outside the political process, who feel like they're being completely tarnished by these moves by Comey and his deputies.
We actually have the sound. Let's play it.
There are probably 100 FBI agents who worked on the investigation of Mrs. Clinton. Hardworking men and women in the field who gathered evidence and interviewed witnesses and shipped this data up to senior management like Mr. McCabe and are furious at the decision not to prosecute her. They were denied the right tools, no grand jury, no subpoenas, no search warrants. They are the ones who are leaking information to undermine the decision not to prosecute, to demonstrate that it was not professionally made, that it was made for political reasons.
But what?
There you have it. I mean, I think Judge Napolitano was absolutely 100% correct on this, and that is that, in fact, you had a situation where these FBI agents are feeling embarrassed for their agency. Now, we're getting a lot of comments on that, but I'm telling you something. My insurance has gone up from, this person said, from $720 a month to $1,800 a month, according to Royce. What are you seeing on social media on this?
Similar comments are coming in. Our premiums have gone up 75% since Obamacare went into effect, from Denise. It's getting worse. I called to try and get it to a doctor, and now it's months before I can get in. That's from Sharon. And a lot of comments like that.
Yeah. So, you know, Jordan, you said that this politically should be the key point domestically that Donald Trump's hitting. He's barely hitting it today.
Yeah.
But this should be the big...
It should be devastating for Hillary Clinton. I mean, think about it. I mean, a normal legislation she supports, she's defending. that is going to cost people outrageous amounts of money in just a couple of months. So not like 5 years from now projected, literally starting in 2017. If you don't want to be in violation of federal law, you're going to have to pay these increased fees. And yet this is not sinking her. I mean, and at this point is not sinking her campaign. For normal election year, you substitute any qualified kind of Republican mainstreamer in here, they've won. Hillary Clinton would just totally be sinking at this point. She couldn't defend this. Yep. She couldn't defend her own scandals. So now it's not just about her personal scandals and money from Terry McAuliffe to
his policies
that
aren't working.
Now it's policies not just not working. I'd say it's an absolute failure of the system. But we all have said, if you go back and listen to radio years ago,
we said this was
that Obamacare's focus was to destroy the healthcare industry so that they could remake it in their own image, if you will.
Which is single payer universal coverage. That's what they ultimately want. And right now they're succeeding. And this should, like Jordan said, if this wasn't any other candidate, this would be absolutely devastating. Now, Donald Trump did say this. And it was this from today, Will?
From yesterday.
This was from yesterday. So it's a little bit of a message point now that's starting to develop. Here it is.
It's over for Obamacare. And Hillary Clinton wants to double down and make it more expensive. And it's not going to work. I called it when it first came out. It's only getting worse. And not only for you, for the country, because our country can't afford it. You can't afford it. We're going to have great health care at a fraction of the cost.
I really wish that this was a debate point. And this is unfortunate that this all just broke in the last 24 to 48 hours, because what a great debate point this would have been. All right, let's do this. We've got a lot of calls coming in. We've got, I was about to say we had a line open. We don't. Let's go ahead and take some calls, Logan.
All right, let's go to Mike in Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, Mike.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Thank you for everything that you do. I just wanted to tell you guys, myself, like many, many believers, Americans, are sitting on the fence, not knowing who to vote for or not to vote. And I want to encourage them. A thought came to me and said, you know what? We're doing with Trump what we always do. We have him at the church doors, and we're pushing him away because of his past, because he hasn't came completely clean. Which of us ever came to God completely clean? None of us. So anyways, we got this man, all right? He's surrounded by Christian men, Mike Pence. Let's trust that God will use Mike Pence to influence Donald Trump. On the contrary, we have Hillary, and she's surrounding herself with people that don't have our beliefs. So who do we want in office? Do we want, you know, if we write
in someone... Yeah, I know. Look, Mike, I mean, I think you're bringing up a point. The reason I let you... Normally, we don't get into it. We're now 2 weeks out from today. Look, you're bringing down the point of, I think, where a lot of people are right now in this, and that is, first of all, let me say the do not vote thing. You got to vote, folks. First of all, you got the state races, you got your local races, but we've got it. You got to vote. Now, I'm not going to tell you again. I'm never going to tell you who to vote for, but you got to vote. But I think people, it's interesting, Jordan, as this dynamic is now coming down to, and be curious, Logan, also to see if we start seeing this on social media, where people that were on, if you were on the fence, let Logan know, because I'd like to kind of know where you're coming down. This is now, it's 2 weeks from today, so it's the real deal.
Yeah, so I think Donald Trump needs more people like Mike in those swing states like Arizona who are feeling the and Mike should be. You know, some of us, you may be in a blue state, you may be in a red state, you're not feeling that pressure. But Mike is in Arizona. So Mike is one of those people who could be deciding, and who they're talking to as well, like he just called into this radio broadcast, deciding who the next president is based off how their state goes.
Yep.
And so for him, I think the pressure is very high on those voters who may have felt like, I don't like any of these choices. Now they're getting closer and closer, early voting starting to open up. Is that pushing him to say, you know what, enough, maybe I'll vote still for Donald Trump? That's Donald Trump's, one of his two, I think, major saving points of his campaign is that you've got people who, once they get to close to the voting or that day, the moment they're in there, end up voting for him. And number two is that there are enough people who just won't say it publicly. And I think that's why the polls are still relatively close in the battleground states.
Yep. All right, let's do this. Let's take and I think that's right. So those in the battleground states, I mean, it's a big deal. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
We only got a minute, so let's take a comment. We'll get some calls coming up. This is from Carolyn. She said, I'm thankful that Obamacare is being exploited. People listen up and know that this is a fact and think twice before you vote this year.
Well, I think she brings up a point that two weeks is a long time in the life of a body politic. I mean, 2 weeks is a long time. This is a big deal, folks. This is President Obama's signature domestic achievement. His other international achievement was the deal with Iran. You make your decisions from that. But this is the domestic achievement. If you live in Arizona, you're looking at 116% increase, possibly. 116%. Double it at 16% more. All right, we're going to take your phone calls and comments when we come back from the break. And a lot of people can engage multiple ways.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110 when lines open up. But for now, Facebook and Periscope, best way to get your comments in, Facebook.com/JaySekulo.
Let me also say, folks, as we close the month down here, we're now in the last week of the month, obviously. We need your help at the ACLJ. Your support makes a big difference. Go to ACLJ.org. Make an online contribution to the ACLJ. Makes a huge difference. We really appreciate it. We're a little bit behind where we were last year. We think we're going to make it up. Your great support yesterday really helped us on that. We also have an email going out about the collusion, corruption, and cronyism. Respond to that email as well.
Imagine
that's going out today.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow Live. I want to welcome our new audience, our new affiliate, KCBQ AM 1170 The Answer in San Diego, California, beautiful part of the country. We're on there now every day for an hour. We're thrilled to be there. So again, KCBQ AM 1170 The Answer. Welcome to the Jay Sekulow Live Network. We're really pleased about that. All right, we got a lot of calls coming in. Let me just kind of give you my assessment. I want to get Jordan's as well on this. I think right now you're 14 days out. So everybody that's calling this election is over. A lot of things happen in 14 days. I do still take the position that Trump's under polling. Whether it's enough, if it's 3%, is it 7%, I don't know. But I will tell you this, it's 14 days out, and a lot of stuff's happening. And this Obamacare thing is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. And so for the Trump campaign, I mean, I would be up with new ads today in each of these states, the swing states especially, to explaining exactly to people how their premiums are about to go up. Hillary Clinton can't refute that.
Right.
All she could say is we'll work to fix it, but she can't refute the specific numbers that have come out here. These are the facts.
Yep.
That's what I would be doing. So we'll see if the Trump campaign will do it. Now, we've heard a little bit of it from Donald Trump, not specifically.
No.
He didn't get into like the specifics of the cost.
I would.
And Mike Pence has done it some, but again, that message is not just going to resonate in Utah.
No,
you got to get out to Arizona. You got to out to Florida. I think if they've got money, which there's question marks about how much they have, if you've got money, this should be up in every swing state.
Look, Hillary Clinton knows she's vulnerable on this. This was in the second debate, and everybody kind of forgot this, and Will just pulled it, which is very good. I mean, she knows she's vulnerable here. I'm going to play the beginning of this. Take a listen.
So I want very much to save what works and is good about the Affordable Care Act. But we've got to get costs down. We've got to provide some additional help to small businesses.
Her husband called this, by the way, Bill Clinton called it crazy. And Bill Clinton was right. These premiums are crazy. So As one person just said, the country's too massive for Obamacare, and it's too large of a system, and I think that's exactly right. All right, Logan, let's go right back to the phones.
All right, let's go to William. William in Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Hey, William, go ahead, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm complaining about the Obamacare because right now, as we speak, my brother is in Tijuana.
Yep.
He's a white male from Los Angeles, and he's in Tijuana in surgery as we speak because it's costing him, under Obamacare, $20,000 to having bleeding surgery.
You don't have to get into specifics, ulcers, but I understand, yeah.
And it's $5,000 in Tijuana.
Yeah, I mean, this is the whole problem. The whole system is getting skewed. I mean, this is the reality of, and these are the examples that if I was running Donald Trump's campaign, I'd be talking about premiums. I'd talk about people going to Mexico for, you know, he's talking about going to Mexico for surgery. That, by the way, that's not the first. By the way, William, first of all, pray for your brother, but. Let me say this. You're not the first person we've heard from that has said that their relative has gone to another country for surgery because the insurance situation, or they can't get the insurance, won't cover it, or under the Affordable Care Act's panel reviews, it's not being approved. Look, we've got a situation. I don't want to get into specifics, but we have a situation with the spouse of a senior lawyer at the ACLJ who is ill, and they're having to do experimental treatments because of the situation, and none of this is covered by insurance. So this whole plan of what, you know, universal, and this is a young guy involved in this, I mean, in his 40s. So this is, the whole thing's falling apart. And again, it goes back to the political side of this, I think, is the reality.
Yeah, and so you use those examples, and yet, you know, I think the burden on young people, for our audience, this goes to everybody out there, whether you have grandkids or children, they are going to be destroyed economically because of your reliance on these programs. And we already see the issue with Social Security. I know people get very sensitive about that. It's just a fact, though.
Yep.
Your grandkids are paying into it right now. Guess what? It's not going to be there for them. So you're just living off of them right now.
Right.
No social safety net for them will be in existence.
Yep.
It will be bankrupt. Obamacare already is. It was already a disaster. Now it's just getting that much worse. And the people who are the only people who are really benefiting it are people who would already get free health care kind of anyways. They either don't make enough income, those who are really struggling economically.
Emergency room. That's what I call emergency room exit.
But you see, you can have a full plan, a good plan, and you still don't get the kind of coverage you would think.
All right, let's do. Let's take John's call, Logan, out of line two. He's been holding for a while.
Okay. All right, John, you're on the air.
All right, hey, John.
Hi, I love you guys' show. I got a question. Since our FBI has failed us and our Attorney General and Department of Justice not wanting to prosecute Hillary or any of her people, could Congress empower the states to have a state attorney general go after somebody since our Justice Department has failed us?
Not only if there is a state claim, and there generally isn't. Now, what you've got is a situation, and our director of policy pointed out this morning, you've got the former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General James Cartwright, right now could be facing 5 years in jail because he told a federal court last week he regretted that he didn't tell the Bureau the truth about a conversation he had with reporters about a secret cyber attack disrupting Iran's nuclear program. He could serve 5 years. Now, that's all he did. He discussed it, trying to kill the story. So the reason I wanted to take this as we close this segment out, folks, you got to understand something with this FBI issue. This is a big deal. Now, is the FBI agent involved? Did he violate the law as far as criminal law goes? I'm not saying that. It's the ethical situation here. And that is the appearance of impropriety. And as a lawyer, and this FBI agent's a lawyer, you're not supposed to have impropriety, even the appearance of impropriety. And this is beyond the appearance of impropriety here. This is absurd. He's now the number two at the FBI. So you got James Comey and this guy, McCabe. Now, just think about this for a moment. That's who's doing this investigation of Hillary Clinton. And his wife happened to run against a Republican, and it happened to be Terry McAuliffe, as Jordan, as you said yesterday, picked her.
Yeah, and this was in a district where, and the senator from this district, I mean, he's won for over 14 years.
Yeah, so there was no
easy
way
elections
for
the Republicans, just the bottom line facts. And all of a sudden, they're recruiting this FBI director's wife to, and I say director because he was the director of the D.C. Bureau. I mean, this is a major player for Washington, D.C., who, by the way, at that time was staffing the Hillary Clinton investigation team.
Right.
So he was doing that to begin with. Before he had full oversight, he had some oversight. So Terry McAuliffe goes to this couple.
Yeah, because his office was investigating.
They go to this couple. Yes, I mean, the office he oversaw was providing the staff for the investigation.
Right.
Goes to this couple. It says, we want you to run. donates the third most money of any candidate, they still come out. It's 60-40.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not even a close race. So with all that money,
he gets promoted to the number two.
And then right away, after her loss, and they've spent, you know, $700,000+ from Terry McAuliffe was the number, would provide a third of her campaign funds, the number one donor.
It's absurd.
After that, he moves up to number two at the FBI, which is very powerful, and also becomes, even though their salaries today are not necessarily so high, if you rise to those kind of positions of government, that becomes very lucrative for your career later on.
When you retire. All right, we are out of time for the first 30 minutes of the broadcast, but this is an hour-long program. Some of you may not be getting. A lot of you the stations are carrying the full hour, but Logan, let's let everybody know, because there's a lot of ways to get the broadcast, and we encourage you to do it.
Yes, you can join us each and every day on Facebook and Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow or just facebook.com/JaySekulow, or you can find it later on archived on the ACLJ app, ACLJ.org, or Jay Sekulow Live Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and so are most of the folks on social media, Logan, what do they talk? More FBI or more of this Obamacare premium stuff?
It's kind of shifting towards the FBI.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about the FBI. We're going to talk about the battle in Mosul with one of our senior military analysts when we come back from the break. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate is tax deductible. We really appreciate that, whereas I said, we're trying to make up a little bit of ground from last year again, ACLJ.org. Phone lines are jammed right now at 800-684-3110, but they'll open up during the break. And don't forget our book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda, Iran, Russian, Jihadist Share for Conquering the World, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get the books. And I just signed some more copies. You can get those at buyunholyalliance.com. We'll be back with more, including your comments and calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. This is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
So we've got Obamacare premiums going up in one state 116%. Now, it's interesting. Jordan just said this during the break. This is the president's signature domestic policy achievement, and you've got premiums going up in Tennessee 60%. In other states, 19 and 20%. That's considered not a lot, by the way. 20%, though, if you're a retiree in Florida, is a lot. This should be the lead political issue for Donald Trump right now, and he is starting to mention it.
Yep.
But this would be a big vulnerability point, no doubt about it. But you said they've gone state by state, and you think it's kind of getting skewed a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's different by each state. So, like, for instance, I look at a Florida, and though it's still a high increase, I think it's at the 10 to 19%. That's one of the lower increases. So you think a battleground state, 10 to 19%. But you know, as much as you say that, Georgia, which they're talking about as being a battleground, that's at 30 to 39. North Carolina, another battleground, 30 to 39. Of course, New York gets protected, interesting enough. That's at only 10 to 19. Minnesota,
19 is not insignificant. That's a 20% increase.
But I mean, on this scale,
yeah,
where there's states like Tennessee, Oklahoma, right, Minnesota, and Arizona looking at greater than 50% increases across the board.
This is the president's singular domestic policy achievement, and it's completely falling apart. What are people saying, Logan, online? Because I'm watching the feed right now on the Obamacare thing. This should be the major domestic issue going into this election with 2 weeks to go. What are we seeing online?
Yeah, a lot of people are just putting in comments like you just said. So Thurman just said, my daughter did not make enough money and could not get insurance even through Obamacare. Comments like that keep coming up.
I saw one person today, 100% increase.
Yeah, 100% increase. My opinion, Obama has been trying to create such a mess for whoever is the office next.
Well.
Hopefully they can untangle it.
I don't think that's been, by the way, I think he kind of acknowledged that.
Yeah.
That it's that this mess has been created. So I think this is, look, they want single payer. You keep doing this, believe me, you're running every insurance company you can out of it. Then the other story, of course, is, I said yesterday, the guy that was in charge of the Washington, D.C. office with this whole situation with the FBI. So you've got an FBI agent who is running the D.C. field office. That's a big office. His wife ends up getting tapped by the DNC and Terry McAuliffe, a very close Clinton aide, to run for a Senate seat for the state legislature in Virginia, which has been controlled by the same guy for like 14, 15 years, 16 yeah. years. So this was ridiculous. They pour in $700,000. His office happens to be heading up the investigation of the Clinton email scandal. His wife loses, although they gave him the $700,000. She still loses. He ends up getting promoted to the number, I said yesterday, number three, the number two guy at the Department of Justice. And McAuliffe acknowledges that, in fact, he did meet with McCabe, the actual FBI agent. Where's this coming from? FBI agents that have had enough. And folks, again, you're supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety as a lawyer, certainly as an FBI agent. This does not do that. I think you violated the conflict of interest provisions. And again, this should be, if it was anybody else, you think it would be, that would be it.
Yeah, it would be it. I mean, if it was anybody else, this would be over, but it's not. And so it's you've still got a close race, but actually favoring the Democrat.
Yeah. So it's, which is, you know. Yeah, right now, I think if the election was today, again, I think there's going to be under polling, but her numbers are looking good, even though, even with the horrendous nature of the cost of Obamacare and this other. All right, Logan, we don't have time for a call, so we should take a comment, or would you just...
Not a ton of comments right now, really, but based on this topic, people okay. are kind of moving on. But there are some good comments and some good calls. We'll get to them in the next segment.
All right, so if people are moving on, and I think it means they're moving on to the FBI.
A lot of voter fraud also comments coming
up. Okay, we'll talk about the voter fraud issue, what that means and how you define it. But coming up, we're going to talk about the situation in Mosul. And that is the our military in a battle, and our military's in it. We're going to be joined by Wes Smith coming up for a segment here, so stay tuned. We've got a lot more ahead. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We've got an email going out. The collusion, corruption, and cronyism continues. The ACLJ fighting in federal court on so many of those issues. Of course, we just beat the IRS in a big way. Now we're fighting the State Department and the Department of Justice. Help our team out. Donate. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We're going to be joined by Wes Smith when we come back from the break.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Something that's not getting the attention we think it deserves, and that is we've got men and women in harm's way right now, and that is as the battle to retake the ISIS-held city of Mosul enters week two. Wes Smith, our senior military analyst, has a piece up at ACLJ.org. Six things you need to know about the battle for Mosul and the latest fights against our enemies around the world. But Wes, one of the things that people don't realize, and this is something we talked about, and that is Mosul's a big city. So this is a real, this military engagement that's about to take place, are they saying it's a few days out from reaching Mosul, is big.
It is, and it's more than likely, according to the Pentagon, going to take weeks, if not months, to do it, because Mosul is a roughly about the size of Kansas City, a million to a million and a half people. Used to be closer to 2 million, but many people have fled. Yeah. And because ISIS is in with the population of the city itself, they literally have to clear every building and every house one at a time.
I hate that the military, because those are always dangerous.
They are very dangerous.
The search building by building, but this is the situation. You know, Jordan, there's a political side of this I want to talk about. That is getting the, you know, the president said he was ending the wars in Iraq. He was doing all this. And now we've got, was it at least 5,000 U.S. troops in an advisory support role, but they're in harm's way.
Yes, they are. I mean, we've already had a loss of life.
Yeah,
we didn't get a troop who has been killed by an IED, a roadside bomb, and you've got ISIS, which it appears, you know, they've opened up a second front in this battle in a different town in Kirkuk, and so they're shifting resources. We're relying on an Iraqi military, which is supposed to be much better than it was, let's say, than 4 or 5 years ago. At the same time, it's still not. It's not like the U.S. troops, you know, fully moving in on a city, and so you got this long term battle. Very complicated between different religious and ethnic groups. Yep. So you do have those hesitations, I think, amongst these internal military forces to even fully take this head on.
Yeah, it's a very conflicted coalition.
Okay, I want to talk. Who are the major players? You have that in your piece, but who are the major players here?
You got about 30,000 Iraqi security forces, which is their army. You have Shia.
How are they? Better than they were?
Better than they were. So far, they seem to be doing pretty well.
Okay.
Then you have Shia and Sunni militias who are accusing each other of atrocities. And so they're fighting, but they do not get along.
Yep.
You have Turkish forces, which Iraq is suspicious of. And just yesterday, the religious leader Khomeini in Iran has forbidden Turkey to even be in the territory. So you have an Iran-Turkey conflict going on. And it just goes down from there. And so it's a very conflicted coalition.
And then we've got 5,000 U.S. troops.
5,000 U.S. troops, and then the French, British, and American Air Force providing air cover. But what is happening is many of our soldiers and their leaders are having to play mediator and traffic cop because the coalition is so fragmented.
Should this be a bigger political issue than it is now? Because, you know, I think taking Mosul back is a big deal.
It is.
I've always said eliminate the caliphate.
Right.
Geographically is very important here.
Right.
It's not getting the attention I think it should. And we are probably a week away or maybe not even from real conflict in Mosul.
Yes, it's not getting that kind of political attention. Keep in mind, Jay, that 2006, we fought for Mosul again, and many U.S. soldiers died then. Ash Carter, one other piece of this, is saying that once Mosul is taken, that we need to move into Syria and take Raqqa, which is their real headquarters.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, people on the ground are informing our military that ISIS leaders already are fleeing Mosul, and they are actually going to Raqqa.
Ash Carter actually talked about this a little bit. Let's go ahead and play bite number 32.
We must do this. We have to protect ourselves from ISIL. They intend harm to our country.
How would you assess the progress?
I'm encouraged because it's going according to plan. ISIL will surely be destroyed.
So this is a marked differential. Ash Carter hasn't. The differential is not with Ash Carter. Mm-hmm. The president, Jordan, had taken this view where he didn't want to talk about ISIS. He didn't want to talk about it as a threat. He hated naming it. He called it ISIS, interesting, rather than ISIL. I think ISIS is the better descriptive. But the fact that Ash Carter said this again, we must do this. We have to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. They intend to harm us. You know what's interesting, folks, not to take credit for this, and I'm not going to, and I'm sure Ash Carter didn't, but I said in the closing of the book, the first part of our book, Unholy Alliance, which is about this whole topic, I said, we will win, we must win, we have no option. He said, we must do this, we have to protect ourselves from ISIS, they intend to harm us.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got this administration that's been in conflict throughout this battle against the Islamic State. You've got the military leaders who have always said one thing, and then you have the political team from the president. Now, they have had to answer. They've been asked specifically, Donald Trump has raised this. He's already called it a failure, the mission in Mosul. Mm-hmm. And the question is, did they set this up to already look like a failure? When the White House had to respond, do we have the sound on this, guys? When they had to respond, they said it's just too early to decide that yet. That's all they said.
Oh, whether it's going to be successful or not.
Mm. Yes, too early. They didn't say it's going to be successful. They don't make those kind of
statements. As Carter is saying it because he needs to say it.
But the President of the United States spokespeople will not say that if it's even not a failure. They say it's too early to decide.
They said that yesterday. Yeah. So let's talk about what is the strategic issue at play here with Mosul.
Right. Strategically, of course, ISIS is the big threat.
Right.
But there is more than just ISIS being the threat. We have, I used to say they were unreliable allies.
Yeah.
They're not even allies anymore, of Russia and Iran, which are major players in the fight for Mosul. They are major players in the fight in Syria against ISIS.
Reasons.
And what they are successfully doing at this point, Jay, is that they are becoming the dominant influence, not only in Iraq and Syria, but in the Middle East. And they continue to push us to the margins as much as they can.
Now, let's talk about the Russian thing, because we got the cover of our book, Unholy Alliance, has the picture of Rouhani with Vladimir Putin. So Russia, they're supposed to be our ally, like you said, not really. But what are they doing in there in the region? I mean, I know what they're doing in the region, but what are they doing specifically from what you can tell from your sources in this actual engagement in Mosul?
They want to be perceived as the heroes who ultimately are going to defeat ISIS, although they're launching very few attacks against ISIS in Syria now. But what they want to do is to be the dominant power there, the dominant player. And Ash Carter mentioned a couple of days ago, the Secretary of Defense, that after we take Mosul, and Jay, I really do think it will be a successful operation, but once that is done, he says we immediately need to pivot and to go in and attack Syria and Raqqa, the headquarters there. But it's complicated because Russia has already said that we're not allowed to do that and that they will shoot our planes down. And so strategically, they are placing themselves in a position of power.
So the Russians, Jordan, are taking the position that if you don't do what they say in the region, they're going to take military action against the United States and our coalition forces.
Exactly.
Yeah, they just rolled out today another nuclear weapon, a bomb that could, a missile, long-range missile, that could take out all of France and the UK, basically, with one bomb. They are more aggressive than ever before on the international stage. And the Middle East has always been the proxy for who's the most powerful countries in the world. And so it was for decades, it was the U.S.
Right.
We basically were in control. Yes, there were problems, there were issues, but when we wanted to, we could just step in and throw you out of power. And that's what we did with Saddam Hussein.
Right.
Yes, there were issues with Iran, but we've just decided as a country, if we pushed those leaders out, that would be more trouble for us. But now we've opened this huge vacuum up, and if the Russians are playing there, that puts them back at the world stage.
Strategically also, Jay, Iran is flush with cash now
to
carry out their missions.
Yeah, well, look, we gave them the billions of dollars, but you bring up a point that the 73 days between the election day and the swearing in of the new president, that is where the Russians are going to sense, and others in the region, Iran too, are going to really, and I could tell you this from I'm not going to give you the details of the conversation, but in conversation I had yesterday with a very high-ranking official from a foreign government yesterday, that there's already pullback. In other words, in the sense that the United States is already not willing to do this or not willing to do that because of the change of administrations coming. But your concern is they're going to sense that vulnerability and they're going to engage.
I think the
73, we got to really watch that.
Yes, the 73 days between November the 8th and January 20th are going to be some of the most precarious days we face in a long time, strategically, militarily, politically, because our adversaries, namely Iran, Russia, and their cohorts, they will use that time period, and I really believe this, to push us and to test us.
Yeah. I also say, of course, my view is that we got to watch it domestically, too. I think the president's going to try to do everything he can in that last 72, 73 days to make it happen. Wes has got a great article up. It literally just went up right before we went on air. 6 things you need to know about the battle for Mosul and the latest fight against our enemies around the world. Wes Smith is a colonel, United States Army, retired, and a senior military analyst here at the ACLJ. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to grab your calls. A lot of you have been holding for a long time, so hang in there. We're going to get right to you when we come back from the break. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org. And our book, Unholy Alliance, is available in bookstores everywhere, Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, unholyalliancebook.com. You can find all the ways you can get it, including if you want a signed copy, you can get it at buyunholyalliance.com. We're going to come back from the break. We're going to take your comments. We're looking at our Facebook and social media feeds. We'll have those. We'll get your calls in, too. We're going to do a rapid-fire round. We've got a lot to talk about. Don't forget, really, pray for our men and women that are right now in harm's way, and our coalition forces partners that are in harm's way. They're right there. This is a real battle, folks. We're about a week away from a major engagement again in the Middle East. I think it's Obama administration's foreign policy failure, but at least we're trying to destroy this caliphate, and we think that destroying the caliphate's the right thing to do. But our men and women are going to be in harm's way. When we come back from the break, we will take your calls and your comments. Get those in. Logan will be monitoring that with our social media team. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
This is the round where we're going to hit all your questions. We're going to do this in quick succession here because a lot of you have been holding for an awful long time. So we're going to get right to it. So, Logan, let's start.
All right. Vicky in Rome, Texas, you're on the air.
Hey, Ricky, I'm going to send you a copy of our book, Unholy Alliance, signed because you've been holding on for 30 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
First of all, I want to thank you for your work.
Yep, thank you.
It's awesome, and I support y'all 100%.
Thanks.
Second thing is I have been getting a lot of feedback from my friends that are doing early voting here in Texas, that there's some things going on where they're voting all Republican. It's being changed to Democrat.
Yeah. So I have seen some of those reports as well. And this is something that we're monitoring. Now, generally, that you got to get immediately, if you see that happen, you got to obviously notify the person at the voting facility, at the voting place. Now, for a vote to actually impact significantly, Jordan was giving the numbers yesterday, for a state to be swayed by voter fraud, you're talking a big number of votes have to be.
100,000 votes in a place like North Carolina spread out over, so that it's not automatically so obviously fraudulent, over every precinct. You'd have to have, you'd have to have people inside the election process highly coordinated to pull off something like that. Now, if you're talking about a local race,
watch
it. You know, that's one thing. But when you're talking statewide,
That's when you when it starts having to be massive scale. And if you see a problem with how you vote, listen, we're using
go to the voting
you
officer
need to tell
there
right now. Don't start just a Facebook discussion about it.
Get it fixed.
Get it fixed and make sure your vote's counted the right way.
Because if there is something going on and you, it gets pointed out, people are going to know. But like Jordan said, do not wait to just post it on Facebook. Engage it. All right, Logan, you're all making right. us go quick here. Yep,
Karen in Sand Lake, New York.
All right, Karen, you're on. Go.
Thank you. I just have a comment to make that many of my friends who are Christians were either not going to vote
yep.
or were going to vote third party. They are now going to vote for Donald Trump because of the abortion issue and so many things that you talk about.
Well, the abortion, you know, the abortion conversation came up at the last debate, and there was a stark contrast between the two candidates. I mean, Logan, from a media perspective, I mean, I thought Trump was very effective on that. And I mean, I guess Clinton to her base, which
right.
is the,
yeah,
the pro-abortion
both played,
base.
They both played to their base.
They
well.
Both is that what you think it was? Both playing to their base on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where people that were on the fence may not be on the fence on either one of these candidates. All right, here we go.
Continuing on, let's go to Chris in LA. You're on the air.
Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey guys,
yep.
I just wanted to say I got a question because this election is so important,
yep.
and so many either won't vote or they'll vote more from an emotional perspective rather than a possible.
Oh, I think we lost Chris. Chris has been holding for a while. Sorry, Chris. Nothing we could do. Let's move on.
Do you know what the question was? I think it was he was looking for some, where are good websites to go to get updated information?
ACLJ.
ACLJ.org. I was going to say the same
Charles
thing.
Charles in Texas here on the air.
Hey, Charles, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much. I just wanted to tell you that I'm a graduate of the Air Force Academy.
Yes, sir.
Graduated in 1960.
Great.
But I wanted to mention that there is a very good Christian healthcare ministries. You mentioned that
yeah, the med shares. Yeah, we can't obviously we can't do advertisements, but there are licensed companies that can do this. Now we mentioned this because in the beginning of the broadcast we talked about the fact that premiums have gone. I mean, literally, when you say through the roof. I mean, this is not an exaggeration. These are numbers that if this was like Jordan said, a normal election cycle. If this was a normal election cycle, this would be a definitive moment.
Yes, I mean, you look at like a state like Pennsylvania, for instance, a 20 to 29% hike. They're at the 30 to 39. So that's a battleground state. They're looking at 30 to 39%. And that's across, you know, this is basically across the board. The states that get the least impact, it's interesting actually, but it's New York, Florida, California.
What a shock.
Those states, which I think they have bigger government systems.
Yeah.
In Florida, they've got an older population. So because of that, there's not as many people who have to qualify for this. But in California and New York, you have such overregulated government already
right.
that the plans are a bit different.
So we were dealing with two issues today, the FBI issue and the Obamacare issue. And Logan, interesting, on social media, because I said this in our pre-meeting for radio, I said I didn't know if the Obamacare health premium issue was going to hit the audience, but it's clearly been a big deal.
Oh, yeah, people are talking about it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big number and people are upset, yeah.
All right, let's continue on the phones. Let's go to Mark in Lakewood, Washington.
Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey.
Thank you for
sure.
your work, and I support you folks whenever I can.
Thanks. We appreciate that.
Hey, I've got a legal question for
okay.
you, Jay. As in the O.J. Simpson case, he was acquitted, and then
right.
the families came after him in civil court.
Correct.
Can the families of the Benghazi folks come after Hillary in civil court since the FBI will not go after him?
So there have been civil suits have been filed. There have been civil suits filed. So, yes, those are – it's like in our situation, Mark, with the IRS. We can't bring a criminal charge, but we brought civil case against the IRS, and we won. So, yes, civil cases can – that's why we should not – I don't think for a moment we should give up hope, folks, on any of these issues. That's why we're in federal court. That's why we're fighting these issues. State Department, FBI, we're in court, IRS, duking it out. That's how you do it.
All right, let's go to Donna in San Diego, California, new home.
Hey, great. We're thrilled that San Diego is now part of the Jay Sekulow Live affiliated network. Donna, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wondered what incentive possibly –
okay.
the insurance companies would have to lower prices after all this debacle.
Yeah. So, and my view is, I'll let Jordan address this too, zero incentive. And but the insurance companies are now finding this very hard to comply with.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. That's why the costs are going up. They know that this means probably less, honestly, even though the costs are higher, maybe less business for them because
right.
more people are going to say, I'll pay that penalty. And if I have to go to the hospital, I have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So they may have tried to comply with it. But it's still, the way that penalty structure works, it does get cost prohibitive maybe a few years longer. right now, I think that it's still much less than even 1 month of these payments.
Yeah.
So this is where
I think it's a big issue.
I think the whole point of this was for it to self-destruct so that you have to have government run.
Which is exactly where it's going.
And it's exactly where it's going. It's why President Obama's not backing away from it. He wants fixes being made that ultimately they could say, because of President Obama, we got into a situation where people were begging the government for a single-payer system. Democrats love making people so reliant that they are basically begging the government for more government.
All right, let's take last call here. Then I got a Chicago-Cleveland question.
Jeff, line two, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
See, I was just going to say that, you know, Obamacare, it is really struggling the middle class because it's taken all of our raises and it's going right to Obamacare.
You're exactly correct. I mean, I think this has impacted the middle class in a huge way. It's affecting everybody, but definitely without a question because it's being passed on from the employers because it's cost prohibitive. All right, so tonight is game one of the World Series. Now, we're on in Cleveland and we're on in Chicago. And I know we've got a lot of big audience in Los Angeles. Sorry, Los Angeles. And I've got family members that are disappointed about the Los Angeles Dodgers not making it. But I have to, can I make an honest confession at the last moment of the broadcast here? I am a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan because I lived in Chicago during the glory years, although they didn't win anything then either. But it's when you had Ernie Banks, Ferguson Jenkins, Randy Huntley. I mean, the great Billy Williams, Glenn Becker. I mean, it was just Ron Santos. So there I am. I'm going to have to be pulling for Chicago. Logan?
I'm going for Chicago tonight. Game one in Cleveland.
Jordan?
I guess I have to root for Cleveland then. Just to give somebody.
In Major League.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So Cleveland, we got an internal conflict. Cleveland versus Chicago, game one tonight. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you, obviously, tomorrow. More information, more developments. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Commentary on the sports tomorrow, maybe a little bit of that. But again, aclj.org to support the work of the ACLJ and sign up for our newsletters. Like our Facebook pages as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. This is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.